Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 25. "You be careful, my friend," said Oscar as he slowed his car down to let Boris off at the curb in front of the Tinkoff Club. "That jacket looks better on you than me. You should keep it." "Thank you," said Boris. "I don't think I will be here past midnight." "Please tell me you are not going to make the papers again," said Oscar. "Tonight I am going up on a suspicion I had while I was here with Sasha," he said. "At least you can say her name and still keep breathing, my friend. I will be here at midnight, and I will stay by my phone. Call me if you need anything," said Oscar. "Thank you. See you later," said Boris as he got out of the car and tapped the roof a couple of times. He walked through the shopping lobby and went up the elevator to the fourth floor without talking to anyone. The bar was open, and the lights were low, but there were not many people there yet. He nodded to the hostess and pointed to a small, high table in the corner away from the center bar and the TV screens. It was early in the shift, so she waved slightly without moving from her spot or worrying much about which waitress got his table. He moved the second chair at his table over to the next table so he could be sure to sit alone, and so that no one would ask him any questions about borrowing the chair. He ordered a beer and planned to sip it slowly until he saw what he came for. 9 o'clock came and went, and the crowd began coming in. It was a popular restaurant, but it was even a more popular bar, so this might be a late crowd. Besides, the last time he was here, he was looking at his Sasha. It was her face that made the mountains that could be seen against the Kazakh sky over the valley so beautiful. It was her smell that made the music memorable and the food so delicious. It was then that something caught his eye. The shards of light moving through the haze of the dark bar were coming from the other side of the center bar. He slid off his seat and decided to go to the men's room. He watched out the corner of his eye as he cleared the bottle rack above the bar and followed the spreading shards back to their source. There was no mistaking the long, straight and shiny black hair, the porcelain skin, and the long manicured fingers on that hand. It was the receptionist from the Sun Sport Equipment Company, and she was there with the man in another impeccably styled suit. He walked on to the restroom and stopped by the bar for another beer. He did not return to his table. Instead, he walked toward the bracelet. He drew on the strength his wife used to see inside of his soul. He was not afraid. He was driven by a sense of scarcity and a sense of love. "I thought it was you," he said in his bureaucratic voice. "I saw you from my table, and I thought I would come and introduce myself when I'm not in uniform." He stuck out his hand to the handsome gentleman in the suit and looked him in the eye. "Do I know you?" he asked. "No, you don't, but I do. This is our FedEx guy," she said to him. Boris did not look at her. He was waiting for the handshake and would not be distracted from it. "Oh, yes, of course. Nice to meet you, eh?" said the man with a question in his tone. "I am Boris Domashev," he said, gripping the man's hand with carefully measured pressure. He was strong. Perhaps he was an athlete. Maybe he was wrong in his assessment, and Sun Sport was really an exercise equipment company. Still, he asserted himself, "I think I can help you with what you are doing." "I'm not sure I know what you mean," said the man defensively. "My name is Franz. I'm one of the owners of Sun Sport," he said, releasing his hand. "I was curious as to what your company did that you need custom fiber optic cables," said Boris. Franz's eyes narrowed and he took a sip of what appeared to be a gin and tonic. Boris took a sip of his beer from the frosted mug and set it down on the table. "Please, have a seat, Boris," he said. "You sound suspicious of something." "I used to be the chief buying officer for the Energy Bureau. I know the components of a bomb when I see them," said Boris. "Gentlemen, may I suggest we retire to a table in the corner?" said the receptionist as she picked up her small handbag from the high table. "My name is Marina," she said. "I like your eyes," said Boris. "As a matter of fact," she said, holding out her arm as they walked, indicating that she had selected the right table. "This will do nicely, and please maintain a low voice as you speak of such things. Boris, I don't honestly know where you came up with this, said Franz. I only want to know where it's going, said Boris. I have a feeling I can help you. What makes you think we need your help? Said Franz, now drawing Boris to divulge what he knew and, more importantly, what he thought he could do. Your organization is sloppy. I put the pieces together in one day. Boron plates from Germany, custom fiber optic cables from China. I figure all you need is a trigger, some tritium, and a core. But you need something much worse than that, said Boris. I knew you were more than a FedEx man the first time I saw you. Your age, for one thing, and you speak Russian like a politician, she said. A bureaucrat, actually. The game is the same, I suppose. Buying and selling, power, he said. Hello, my darling, came the deep voice from behind Boris. Before he could turn, the man with the tattoo on the side of his neck and lower face leaned forward and kissed her lightly on the lips. Hello, Boris, he said casually. I need a drink. You? She nodded, and he walked over to the bar to get them. Boris's mind was slightly off balance now. He was not well known in town. How did this man know his name? She looked at him with those blue eyes, sitting like pools of water set in her perfect face. She had no expression. There was no fear in her. She was in command of her emotions like no woman he had ever seen, and she was disarmingly beautiful. "Mind if I take off my jacket?" he said, trying to seem casual. "But it looks good on you," she said, seeing through his tactic like watching a bug on the floor trying to run from the kitchen light just turned on him. "Here you go, my dear," said the tattooed man. "Don't be alarmed, Boris. We watch the news. You had some fun the other night downstairs, yes?" "They killed my wife, Sasha, and my cat," said Boris coldly. "That was your place?" said Franz. "My God, that was brutal." "What is your purpose, Boris?" asked the tattooed man. "You need help with logistics, or you would be stopped before you get started," said Boris. "By whom? You?" asked Franz. "Not by me. There is CIA all over this city. Are you really a fool?" he said, looking Franz in the eye. "What makes you so sure we are not CIA?" asked Marina. "I can smell that stench anywhere," said Boris. "This is the easy part. You need to get a working core from somewhere, probably the U.S. You need an atomic trigger. You need to get tritium to enrich the yield, and you need to deliver it to its destination, all of which requires deep layers of logistics. You need my skills," said Boris, leaning in close and moving his mouth only slightly to say it. He let that sink in only for a moment, and he continued, "You don't have much time. I heard the American president today. The sides are forming up. I want to make sure one side feels the loss of the love my wife and I had before I go," he said with a pure tone of resolve. "Boris, I don't want to disappoint or overwhelm you," said Marina. She was talking now, not merely the observer of minute facial expressions or hand movements indicating deception. She set her drink down and leaned in close to Boris's face. Her eyes did not blink, and the force of her presence was burning the back of his eyes, almost making him squint from the energy. "You are wrong about so many things." He almost expected her to say darling after speaking to him. Her feminine was so strong that he felt like a little boy in her presence. "There are 4 warheads and 4 triggers, and the tritium is stuck in bottles in a Savannah warehouse as we speak." The weight of what she revealed fell on him like a secret invasion force that was hiding in the grass of his own front yard. He was used to deception and false shipments. He was used to fishing trawlers being caught with aluminum tubes, the entire crew being sent to prison or shot so another one could get away. He had smiled as he walked out of meetings where such plans had been reported to hardline generals dedicated to the insanity of surviving a nuclear war with America. And yet, this was not terrorism, he sensed. This was war. This was where he belonged. He was born for this conflict and had been prepared carefully by fate itself for this very mission. "Tritium will not stay in bottles long," he said, "and four warheads with four triggers means a dozen fake shipments to get caught in different parts of the world to keep the real target a secret. It would take months to get assets in place, purchase a used boat or two, and perhaps use the Russian railroad," he said, as he took a sip of his beer and rubbed his forehead. He meant it to appear daunting, as though only he could resolve their problems. "Boris, we don't need help getting the materials here. We have friends in very high places," said Marina. "We may be able to use your expertise in delivering the finished products," said the tattooed man. "I caught you. It means they will be able to catch you too," said Boris. "They want the equipment built in this remote location, here in Almaty," said Franz. "Then they wish to insulate the origin from the destination," said Boris. "Typical Saudi subterfuge," he spat as he took a large gulp of his beer. "This time, it is not Saudi money," said the tattooed man with a cold look in his eye. He stepped close to Boris as he sat on the high chair. "This time, they will reap what they sow," he said, almost whispering close to Boris's face. Boris smiled, and his eyes showed the warmth in his soul. He didn't say a word. He knew this was the time and place for him to be. "Come by the factory tomorrow morning when you can," said Marina. "Good night, Boris." The three of them stood up and walked out of the Tinkoff, leaving their drinks on the table. None of them looked back as they went out the door slowly and turned for the elevator. Boris sat alone. His heart was calm as the hole in his soul began to fill in with the rushing water of his mission like a spring rain. It flowed into him and filled him with peace. His mind drifted to Sasha's smile and the feel of her hair against his chest. The image of her dismembered hand being zipped into a body bag passed in front of his eyes as he calmly said to himself, "That was easy.